This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you, Keith, for the news. My name is Rich Bradbury, and this, of course, is Enterprise Biz Bytes on this Monday, the 23rd of October. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong,
Frida Liu.
We have a bunch of stories lined up for you today, starting off in a couple of minutes with how Walmart are ramping up self-checkout whilst shopping, not at the end of shopping.
Yep.
We then have a story about how Tesla are striking another deal to disrupt car insurance worldwide. Of course they are. Frida will be hitting us with the 7 habits of highly brandable people. She assures me that she achieves all 7 points. And then we'll be wrapping up, of course, with in the future, charging your phone could be as easy as taking a walk. Right. Tell me about this Walmart checkout then.
Right. So Walmart has rolled out what they're calling Scan and Go in their US and some of their Canadian stores now. And what it is that shoppers pick up a portable scanner in the store and scan the barcode on their items before putting them in the shopping cart. The scanner tallies the bill. Customers back their items themselves. They can either pay at the cashier or use self-checkout. So that's been like established
right.
for a while now.
Yeah.
But in the US, Walmart has made the process even faster by replacing the scanner with a mobile app.
Ooh.
So customers in more than 20 participating locations can now use it to both scan and pay for their items on their smartphones. Then they bypass checkout and they just have to show their receipt to what they're calling an exit greeter.
an exit greeter.
quote unquote exit greeter. Walmart Canada also aims to offer customers the app, which is really catching on with a lot of US shoppers.
Right.
And I'm in a place where, yes...
Yeah, you know, I think it's a great idea.
Yes.
I would love that if I could just load up an app on my phone, get everything done, sorted, paid for, and then I can just leave the
store. Don't have to speak to anybody.
No talking to people.
The queues. That's why I absolutely detest going to grocery stores.
It's funny. Yeah, go on.
The queues.
It's funny you should say that. I was in Mid-Valley over the weekend, and I just happened to... I was a little bit hungry, right? And I walked past this little bread store, and I thought, I'll just pop in there, get myself a little bit of bread, and then I'll be out. I got picked up one piece of bread, 2-3 ringgit, head towards the checkout line. I'm not kidding. There were 11 people.
This is the express line.
And so you think to yourself, am I hungry enough that I'm going to wait 10 minutes, you know, to pay for a 2 ringgit piece of bread? Or can I wait until there's somewhere else where I'm not going to have to queue?
Yeah.
Something like this would be ideal.
Bing, bong, bung, and then even so, right, the other thing with self-checkouts is that they never ever realize your items are in the self-checkout area and they're constantly like, hey, dig it out of the, and you're like, it's in the area and what, and I'm just, you know, if you could just put everything in an app and then leave, that would be so fantastic. But a lot of people are really scared that this technology will lead to a lot of people losing their jobs, cashiers specifically, because they say that it will force shoppers to do all of the work, and they're worried that cashiers will be made completely redundant, essentially.
It's already moving in that direction.
This is
anyway.
The thing, right? Yeah, and according to Walmart Canada, Scan and Go hasn't even resulted in any job losses anyway so far, and the retailer is offering it purely to make shopping more convenient. And not to mention, at the end of 2016, there were 255,000 self-checkout machines in stores around the world. So we're already moving towards just completely automating the grocery shopping experience.
And we've talked about this, right? You know, these jobs, the repetitive and all that. Be prepared that they will be gone.
Yeah, thankfully.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, no, to be fair, as much as we say, you know, these jobs are going to be made redundant and one thing, nobody really wants that job, you know? And most people that take that job, it's a case of having to, right?
Mm.
I've had one of those jobs very briefly, and it is soul-destroying, I can assure you. People only do it because they have very little other choice.
Yeah.
I think, anyway. But I love the idea of self-checkout, and I think it appeals to a certain type of person, right? Like myself and you and probably Frida as well. We want to get in, get it, and get out. We don't want to have to wait 20, 30 minutes for somebody to be beep-beep, done, beep-beep, done.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there are always going to be people that want to, like, talk to the cashier and have a conversation, as if that happens here. But, you know, there will always be people that want to do it the old-fashioned way.
Of course.
But they have to deal with it.
My mother is one of those people. She stands there for half an hour speaking to the cashier. And you know the cashier is just like, can you just move along, lady? But anyway, moving on. Step in the right direction. Tesla, they're striking another deal that shows it's about to turn the car insurance world upside down. They've created a customized insurance package. It's called Insure My Tesla. Very thoughtful. Cheaper than traditional plans because it factors in the vehicle's autopilot safety features and maintenance costs. It's been available in 20 other countries, but Tesla have recently partnered with Liberty Mutual in the US to make it available there. It shows how the insurance industry is bound for disruption as cars get safer with self-driving tech. Now, they quietly rolled it out in February in Hong Kong and Australia, and they've partnered with different insurance companies across the globe, of course. And Elon, as we know, has said that insurance agencies should adjust their prices for Tesla vehicles because the cars come with autopilot, the company's advanced driver assistance feature, of course. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration found that crash rates for Tesla vehicles has plummeted 40% since autopilot was first installed. Electric vehicles also generally require less maintenance than traditional gas-powered vehicles. Here's a quote. If we find that the insurance providers are not matching the insurance proportionate to the risk of the car, then if we need, and we will insource it. This is what he said. I think it's a great idea. Mm. You know, we look at insurance prices for first-time drivers and for elderly drivers and for one thing or another. If you have a car that is extremely safe, it can stop it itself from crashing into another vehicle, surely insurance prices must be adjusted for that, right?
Right. Yeah. And I think, like, even this was introduced years ago. What was that? Depending on your – it varies depending on your risk profile as well. But I think, like, here in Malaysia, it's still pretty much, like, the same across the board whether you've had an accident or not, right?
Right.
So I think it's good if you know that, okay, this person's generally not had any claims and everything and the recording profile, then you can adjust accordingly. So you know it's going to change the car insurance industry for sure.
There used to be a thing where, I don't know if they do it here, if you did an advanced driving course, then that would also reduce the rate of your insurance. Does that apply here as well?
I don't think so, because I don't think there is an advanced driving course in Malaysia at the moment.
Really?
It's just you can drive manual, you can drive automatic, you choose one, you go. You pass test, good.
I mean, it was a very simple thing. It was like, can you change a tire? You know, do you know how to kind of jumpstart your car in times of emergency? And can you do a hill start? All these really simple things, which amounted to something like 20% off your insurance costs.
Okay.
You know? And it was cheap in the UK. And right. I thought they did it here, but obviously not. Why are we not doing that?
Probably because it's highly regulated.
Right.
So.
No. Okay, then. Well, if you have a Tesla car, we look forward to hearing about your reduction insurance costs. Please do let us know if you've got one. I don't know anybody that has a Tesla, right? I think I've seen two or three here in Malaysia.
I've been in one.
Right,
but that's about
it. All right. It's don't rub it in, then. How was it?
Quiet,
of course it was.
Okay.
I think Jeff went in one as well, didn't he? All you fancy people
I
getting
in your
little
I saw one in a showroom
Teslas.
Once. Right, that's as close as I've ever gotten.
I've seen it on TV. There we go. Right, we're going to take a short break. A little bit of Block Party coming up with Banquet. When we come back, we will be talking about the 7 habits of highly brandable people. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Biz Bytes here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Barry fronts Motown. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury with...
Frida Liu.
And Christine Wong.
Just before the break, we were speaking about how Tesla struck up this deal that shows about, you know, they're turning the car insurance world upside down. We spoke about advanced driving courses and whatnot. And thankfully, we had a tweet from Nurul Hazira who says, yes, there are advanced driving lessons like defensive driving, but they're quite exclusive, I think. Mm. Thanks for that. It's nice to know that, you know, there are stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that people are, in fact, listening to the show.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Very nice. We're not just talking
into
the void.
Into the void, yes. If you are listening and you want to tweet us, we are at BFM Radio, of course. If you want to get us on WhatsApp, it's 018-789-8899. Something I want to learn about then is the 7 habits of highly brandable people.
I love this story.
I'm going to speak to somebody who is highly branded. Frida, tell me about this.
You know, so this is a story, obviously, you talk about staying on brand and making money from that. And we're very, you know, it's the thing is, like, we all are a brand. We don't talk about it. You know, someone will just make it up anyway for you, right? And the thing is, we're always very good with consumer products, right? We know that we need to get our product in front of the folks who will benefit from it. We're clear about what we're selling. We need to distinguish our product from the competition, understand and work the distribution system, deliver a consistent message. So these are the things that we know about products, but we don't do enough for ourselves. So this is an interview with Ryan Folan, and he is an up-and-coming expert in the personal branding space. He's also the co-founder of Influence 3. So he's got 7 habits here. And the first one is focus on focusing, right? So through social media, people are seeing what you do all the time. You're confirming what you're all about through what you share. But you don't, the thing is, like, people going to know you for, you don't need to be talented at everything, he says here, right? You need to be talented at your thimble, right? And then build relationships with other people that know you're good at that particular thing, right? I think the challenge is that we all try to be everything,
right?
And that's a problem. So focus on focusing, you know?
I remember reading about it was something like advice for, you know, want to be key opinion leaders or something like that. Using social media, and it was stuff like post 4 or 5 times per day, make sure one is personal, make sure one is this, make sure one is that, and you'd see these people following these guidelines almost exactly, and it never made anybody stand out. It just made it formulaic.
And it doesn't seem to work as well, and it sort of leads to the second thing, which is say yes to the right thing, right? Saying yes to the kinds of opportunities that are on brand and make money. So if you say yes to wrong opportunities, you end up spreading yourself too thin and wasting lots of time and money, and you get confused by people by going off brand. So there's certain things that I've just said no to because I feel that it's just taking up too much time and whatever, and it's just like I don't feel that it's going to benefit anybody, and if I don't feel I'm going to be involved, right. Then it's not going to be true from the heart.
I've had people say, can you come and MC my friend's wedding? And
I don't know your friend.
This has nothing to do with what I do or what, you know, I won't help at all.
Which is point number 3, be real, not ideal, right? Forget about being ideal and just be real. People see right through pretensions, and besides pretentious, perfection is intimidating. So authenticity, I don't think I can say that enough, you know. And it says here, it's a personal brand, not a perfect brand, right? Be yourself and people want to connect with you.
This is the other thing as well, especially if you're trying to build a personal brand on the internet. People are very, very good at spotting things that you make up. If you try to lie to people, they will find it and they will hunt you down and they will tell you what's up. So being real is not just, I mean, first of all, yeah, it's really good because people want to connect with you as a human being.
Yeah.
But also people will call you out on the internet if you lie to them. Like take, for example, there was one rapper, I think a while back, who posted a picture on Instagram saying, hey, I'm going to go fly on a private jet.
Yes.
And then he was photographed in the economy class of a normal plane, and someone posted it like, I just saw him say he was on a private jet. So people will come for you.
So,
and I think people also don't want, you know, they like to see people with vulnerabilities. You know, be real. I mean, you know, and if it's always picture perfect, right? So the 4th thing is the 3 C's. Create consistent content, right? What do you want to be in front of? What kind of information would help them? And what's the best format for you to provide the material to them? Is it written? Is it videoed? Is it recorded? So all these things come into play in what's your best, I guess, the best platform, and be consistent with your content. The 5-second first impression, that's the 5th one. And it says, folks have a first impression of you when they first see your profile picture. Right, so it should be a professional headshot with a background that communicates your personal brand. You should be smiling, looking to the camera, and wearing clothes and sporting colors that help highlight your features. So this is sometimes people take it for granted. So sometimes people try to even connect with me on LinkedIn and everything. I'm like, you know, I don't even have your face. I don't talk to anybody. I don't know who I'm speaking to. I need to at least be able to see, you know, what their face is.
Right.
So simple things like that, right?
Yeah.
The 6th one is your DIY PR. Now, don't wait to be discovered. Be your own media team. Get out there and apply for everything from TED Talks to press coverage to media interviews. And it doesn't even have to be that, right? Even contributing articles to LinkedIn or whatever. Just being a resource out there.
Being part of the discussion.
Being part of the discussion. And it's gone are the days where you need to just get media coverage, because you know, this online media, there's all these tools that are available for you, right? And how do you build your profile from that? The seventh item is to stack successes. Build your success on a stack of small victories. The reality is that building a personal brand is not something that happens overnight. So if you build on the small victories, it's like a snowball effect. You know, things are going to take time. People are going to know you for something over a period of time, and it's not going to be instant. So,
of these 7, Frida, which would you say people should be focusing on more?
I always believe that focus on focusing. You know,
focusing.
And that's just being clear about what your message is all about.
Right.
Right. At the end of the day, then people will sort of, okay, then the like-minded people will just gravitate towards you, because you can't be everything to everybody, right?
Mm-mm.
So what do you want to be known for?
Right.
Right. And so just be very clear with that.
I think, you know, for me, when I read through this, the first thing that kind of really stuck out for me was the whole DIY PR stuff. And I mean, you see a lot of people who are, you know, self-starters and whether or not they're self-employed or whatever, this is the thing that they really shine in, you know. This particularly people like Jeevan, for example, you know, who a while ago, a few years ago, we didn't know who he was.
Jeevan Sadeva and Shankar Santhiram.
Exactly. Right? And they both went out and they really worked hard at look, I can help you. And they built their own brands. Mm. And I think that's something really quite powerful. And it really makes me pay attention to when somebody has done it themselves, as opposed to when somebody has been pushed up there by somebody else. You know, that really makes a difference for me. Christine, anything?
I mean, this is the thing. I follow a lot of YouTube creators. I follow a lot of social media influencers because, you know, that's the kind of people that I follow now. But one of the things that I really find important is the be real and not ideal thing. That's something that whenever I see, you know, let's say a social media influencer posts lots of like very posed photos and they're constantly going for events and things like that. I'm like, that's not your life all the time. Mm. And I feel very disconnected from you as a person. And the whole point of, you know, following these people is that you feel like you have a connection with them of some kind, or you feel like, they are kind of like-minded to me. You feel that there's something there where, you know, you can kind of relate. And once that relatability is gone, it makes it very difficult for people to listen to you anymore because you are no longer a person. You're like a figurehead for yourself.
Mm. Right. Yeah. And just recently, I interviewed that girl. The interview is going to come on soon. Joanna So, who is close to a million subscribers on YouTube, right? And a lot of Malaysians don't know her. But what she's done over the last couple of years was just coming out with a fitness video every week. Every week, when no one's watching, every week. And over the years, you know, with a million subscribers, you know, they're a large part of her followers are from America and India. Right? And it's just being consistent.
Right. Mm. Yeah. But I have also seen, the other side of what you were talking about, Christine, when people, particularly social media influencers, have gotten to that point where they just cannot take it anymore.
Yeah.
And I've seen the fallout of some people who are just like, look, I am sick and tired of posting every moment of my life on something. And then that's when you kind of go, oh, these people are real, you know.
Mm. Yeah.
Anyway, right, time for a short break. Some music coming up. A little bit of REM with So Central Rain, followed by Sweet with Ballroom Blitz to get your dancing on this Monday afternoon. When we come back, in the future, charging your phone could be as easy as taking a walk, apparently. Don't go anywhere. Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9.
Barcelona, Fiorentina, Manchester United. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I want to thank Kenny Wong for tweeting in saying, thanks BFM Radio for sharing that piece on 7 habits of highly brandable people. Very relatable and relevant, especially in today's context.
Yes, for context, Kenny Wong is my dad.
Just going to check, yes.
Hi, Dad.
Hi there, Kenny. Right. Okay, Christine, tell us, in the future...
Yes.
Charging your phone would be as easy as taking a walk.
Yep.
There's a photograph, right,
yes,
of this guy, whatever his name is. I'm not going to attempt to pronounce it. I'll let you do that. It says he's wearing a small device on his right leg. This device doesn't look so small to me.
Yeah. Okay, so first of all, this guy is called Christian Pilatuk, I'm going to assume. And it says that he attaches a small device, but also there are two devices that he and his team have come up with conceptually. So the idea is that there's one device that's about 200 grams and it starts generating electricity as he moves. Not much, just a few microwatts, but still something.
Mm, it's a start.
Another one of their concepts, which I think is probably the one that's been pictured, is a prosthesis that contains a piston that can be incorporated into a sports shoe.
Oh, okay.
So walking pushes the piston into a generator, which creates energy. Now, Pilatuk and his colleagues at the
Karlsruhe Institute of Technology.
Thank
I'm assuming.
You, Frida, in Germany, are among many researchers around the world who are looking for solutions for so-called energy harvesting by movement, i.e., just like dynamos,
but human dynamos.
Yes, and of course, the idea of generating energy with one's own body is by no means new. For example, in 2014, U.S. inventors sought crowdfunding for a battery that would be charged by body movement as well. Now, according to I believe Christian Pilatuk, an hour of movement or sport would extend the battery life of a smartphone in normal use by up to an hour or up to 5 hours in standby mode. So people are already working on this. There's also another group of scientists at the Nanotech Institute at the University of Texas in Dallas that are working on yarns that can produce electricity by stretching or twisting. So it could be built into your actual clothes even, and then you could charge your phone with your clothes.
That's quite smart.
That would be very cool also. So this is really interesting, but We are warned, as per usual, with any kind of technological development, that all of this is still very much so in the early stages. And also, the rapid price decline in current battery technology is a high economic hurdle for anyone wanting to enter the industry and, you know, do non-battery related things.
See,
as well.
I remember years ago, my brother had a smart idea, right? And we all kind of laughed about him, laughed at him at the time. And he's like, why are gyms not human-powered? You know, all the machines that are at the gym, they could, you could use that machine. The electricity could be stored in a battery. It could power the lighting, the air con. And we were like, oh, that's not such a bad idea, Scott. Nothing ever happened with it.
Right. It was a great idea.
It's a good idea, right?
That's the thing, right?
Yeah.
Someone's got to, like, patent that.
Yeah, right.
But I really like this. And I think, you know, it's all, you wonder where all your calories are going when you're working out and all that, right? So might as well turn that to good use,
right? How far did you run today? Well, I ran 3 minutes of my phone, you know.
And this is the thing as well. Like sometimes the few occasions where I do exercise outside, not in a gym, I sometimes will take like a battery pack with me because I listen to music, or you know, I'll listen to a podcast.
And to be honest, you want that extra weight to make you feel like you're doing
of
something.
Course,
of course,
definitely.
Yeah. I know
because they weigh a lot. But point being, you know, if we could discard that entirely and then just have it powered by what I'm wearing, that would be really good and less bulky. However, there is always a catch. And the prosthesis that I mentioned, for example, in order to fully charge a smartphone with it, a person would have to run continuously for several hours. For some people, great. For people like me who are recovering couch potatoes, not so much. So we'll hopefully the technology will be improved soon, but for now it's still a pipe dream.
I like the idea. Human dynamos. It's been something
people
have spoken about it for a long time, you know. I'd like to see this happen.
Yeah,
I really would.
I do want this to happen though. But
all right,
we'll see.
Let's take a very short break. When we come back, some events that you might want to check out this coming week. If you want to get in touch via Twitter, we're at BFM Radio. If not, you can get us on WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Music coming up from the Manic Street Preachers right here on BFM 89.9.
Bigotry Free Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It's almost time for us to wrap up for the day. But before we do that, we've got some events that we think that maybe you should check out. First one, Frida.
This is the Petra Kuchap PJ. And this is happening on Thursday, October 26th, from 6:45 to 9:30. And this is held at Common Ground, Damansara High. So this is your third edition. So what happens here during Petra Kuchap is they have a lineup of speakers all presenting in a concise 20 slides and 20 seconds format. No, I was involved in the first one. And it's not easy. You think working in radio, trying to limit it in 20 seconds and trying to, you think you'll get message across in 6 minutes and 40 seconds? That's what it is, really.
Yeah.
Right? So anyway, this time the theme is lucky. So all the best with them. It's really good to watch, right? With people trying to get the story across in that time frame. The speakers are coming in. We've got Brian Larson from Brainstorm Games, Mohamed Khairul from Sauce Chili, Tika Han from Tactic Visual Solutions, Ko Chali from PropertyPriceTag.com, September Koo, an artist, and Izmir Yamin from Independence X. So standard tickets, price of tickets, 19 ringgit. Standard with a beer is 28. A friendship prize, two or more, 17 ringgit. And patron tickets, get a ticket for yourself and fund a student to attend.
Good idea.
Right? And that's 35 ringgit. So go to PTIX to buy tickets. It's good fun. I think you should check it out. And getting how to get your message across concisely.
Yeah, and then our second event is one that is being hosted by Digital Marketing Consultancy, which is apparently the name of the company. And it is a digital marketing professional certification program. It is happening on Friday, October 27th, from 9:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. at Fileo Damansara 1. This course breaks down digital strategy to its fundamental core. So things like why does my business exist? Why do my customers care? This is geared a lot towards students who want to walk away with a whole and actionable understanding of the current digital landscape to drive success and growth for any future businesses. And the course content includes things like search engine optimization, social media marketing, the basics, right? And tickets, at the moment, you can get an early bird ticket, which is free, but there's only 3 seats left. And standard tickets are 97 ringgit. And you can find this on Eventbrite.
Lovely. Final event that we're going to give you is Pitch In, the Issuer Preview. That's happening on October the 28th. That's Saturday from 3 p.m. p.m. to 5:30 p.m. It's happening at Work Co-working Space. That's Work with a Q at Glow Damansara. And it's time to introduce a new batch of issuers on Pitch In Equity. Mm. And you are invited. The lineup is a RunCloud. RunCloud are a development tool for web developers to simplify the process of configuring, setting up cloud servers, and deployment of web applications. If that's not for you, we have Qos. Currently, that's Qeos. Currently, manufactures and commercializes the world's most energy and cost-efficient LED lighting. Like the sound of that. Okonomy, Malaysia's first custom sushi restaurant. That sounds fabulous. Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Just yes.
Finally, Booze Eat, which is an online marketplace offering a selection of highly sought-after wines and spirits, and they offer 24-hour delivery.
Also, yes.
Also, if I was a student, that would have been wonderful. Finally, Superseed, who are an enabler for artificial intelligence and a contact center. Recommended for investors, but also entrepreneurs interested in how to do equity investments and looking to improve their pitching skills. Tickets are free. Do register over at PTIX. I'll remind you again, it is happening at Co-working Space, Glow Damansara, Saturday, October the 28th, 2017.
That sounds like fun.
Does sound like fun. Right, that's it from us for today. But before we go, just a quick reminder that coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay where we have Kevin Gaskell, the former managing director of Porsche, Lamborghini and BMW. So he's a British engineer turned entrepreneur, credited for reviving luxury car brand Porsche in the 1990s and went on to have successful leadership stints at other major companies. The Breakfast Grill spoke with Kevin about his wide-ranging business experiences as well as his current project. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. I'm Richard Bradbury on behalf of Christine Wong and Frieda Liu. We will be back tomorrow, of course, for Enterprise BizBite at noon. Meanwhile, have a little bit of music. It is The Kinks with Dead End Street here on BFM 89.9, the Business Station.